We present Bright Day by J.B. Priestley, dramatized in 6 episodes by Eric Pringle. Episode 6. The year is 1945. Successful screenwriter Gregory Dawson is trying to finish a film script for the actress Elizabeth Earle. As the hotel trio plays a selection of music that reminds him of his youth in the northern town of Bruddersford in 1914, he finds himself remembering also the Allington family, and in particular their daughters Joan, Eva, and Bridget.
It isn't what you're looking for, Greg, it's who.
Oh, dear.
There goes your lovely day.
It won't be raining in California.
Liz, there comes a time when a man wants a change. I've come to that time. Going back to Hollywood wouldn't work.
Oh. Tell me what happened after that last night at the Allingtons.
The war came and I joined up. I never lived in Bruddersford again.
And what became of everybody?
Oliver Allington, Jock Barniston and Ben Kerry died in the war. John Allington died too. He never really recovered from his illness.
And the girls? I know Eva died.
I met Joan once in the early spring of 19. I was Captain G. Dawson, the old soldier. And I'd just arrived from France at Victoria Station. I wasn't looking where I was going and I bumped into a girl lugging a suitcase.
Oh!
I'm awfully sorry.
Gregory Dawson!
Joan?
Of course. Have I changed so much?
You're paler. Thinner.
5 years older. You look quite different.
Where are you going?
Oh, I teach. In a girls' boarding school in Sussex. I hate it. All those rules. We've just broken up for Easter and I'm spending a few days in a cousin's flat in Earl's Court.
Will your cousin ask me to tea? I'll carry your suitcase.
She's away. Oh, Gregory, will you really come and have tea? It's lovely seeing you again.
Just try getting rid of me.
I always knew Jock would be killed. I think he knew too, but he didn't care. He just didn't care. Give me a cigarette, please.
I heard about your father too.
Yes. Oh, Lord.
Where are the rest of the family?
Mother's with her sister in Dorset. David's at Cambridge. He's going to be a scientist. Bridget is married.
Who to?
An Irishman, Michael Connolly. He's very fascinating and charming, but weak and selfish underneath. Bridget adores him. He appeals to her silly side. They live near Dublin.
I never pretended to be fascinating.
Well, I always liked you. You were a funny, awkward boy when we first met you. But now, uniform suits you.
I'd better go.
Oh, no, don't. Oh, Gregory, life is so horribly different now. Take me out tonight. I want some fun. I can't bear it if you go away now and leave me here. You don't know what it's like for a girl when there seems hardly anybody or anything left.
Oh, this is a perfect evening. A lovely meal in the music hall, just like old times. But now a nightclub. You are a darling, Gregory.
Joan.
No, don't say anything. Don't spoil it. I know it's all silly, but I love it.
So do I. Come on, let's dance.
Where are you staying tonight?
I forget the address. A flat at Earl's Court.
You can if you like.
I like.
But later I didn't like. I drank too much and turned broody. Suddenly I didn't want Joan.
Can I get you anything?
No, thanks.
Oh, darling Gregory. You took me out and gave me just what I wanted. It was wonderful and you were so sweet to me and... Oh, you must understand this. It wasn't like being with somebody I just got to know because you belong to the happy time. The only boy left. And that's what made it so especially wonderful. Oh, Gregory, love me!
Joel.
Don't you like me?
What you said just now. It set me wondering.
What about?
The time before the war. That terrible day.
Go on.
I never really understood about Eva. I knew that ledge on Pikeley's Scar, and what you said about Eva slipping didn't seem to make sense.
What are you saying?
I'm asking what really happened.
You? You were like all the others. Even Jock. You all thought Eva was wonderful, just because she was so pretty. Well, she was awfully stupid, really. She wouldn't believe for ages that Ben Kerry was in love with that woman. She just went on pretending.
Take it easy.
And then when he told her outright that he'd finished with her in that letter Jock brought, well, she just hadn't anything left. I kept telling her not to be a fool, that he wasn't worth it. There was Jock making a fuss of her, and you'd have done the same if you'd had a chance. I remember the way you looked
at her. All right. So she didn't care what happened, and slipped off that perfectly safe ledge.
No, she didn't. If you must know, she threw herself off. I couldn't stop her. She rushed to the edge and went. She did, Gregory. She did, she did, she did.
For God's sake, Joan.
What happened after that?
I fell asleep. I left early next morning and never saw Joan again. I haven't seen or heard of any of them since.
We're turning. This must be where we're having lunch. Good. We haven't too much time.
Why, what's the hurry?
Wait and see. I telephoned the hotel and asked them to pack for me. I'm taking the afternoon train back to London.
Well, that's a sudden decision.
Not really. You want to finish the script and I've nothing to do here and several things I should be doing in London. I've met one of your Allingtons.
Good God.
18 months ago, at a party in Washington, I was introduced to a shy Englishman who was doing secret scientific war work, the atom bomb, of course. His name was Sir David Allington.
David?
He told me he'd been to Cambridge and that when he was a boy he'd lived in Brothersford. He said he'd been sending food parcels to his sister in England. A widow with two or three children. That means your Bridget is still alive.
Please. She isn't my Bridget.
Of course she isn't your Bridget, but you feel she is. It's quite obvious that behind all this fuss is the simple fact that when you were a boy, you fell in love with this girl. And deep down, unknown to you until just now, you've stayed in love with her ever since.
I don't believe it.
Oh, it explains a lot of things. The change in you. Why you couldn't bother about me. You were too busy remembering little Bridget. It's all Bridget and nothing but Bridget. Now, darling, I must catch that train. Will you miss me?
Lord Harndean.
Dawson, come and sit down. Eleanor's gone up to pack. We're leaving in the morning.
I've been wanting to talk to you. I've been thinking a lot about my time in Brothersford. When you were sent up to us, had you and your uncle planned to push Allington out?
Well, let me think. My uncle had met Allington at the London office and didn't think much of him. He was the wrong type. Ought to have been a schoolmaster, not a businessman, eh?
I dare say.
We knew war was coming, so our idea was to sell as much as we could to Germany while we had the chance, and at the same time build up the home market quickly, so that when the war came, the firm could take advantage of it. Then we'd sell out at the top of the market, which we did.
That's what Joe Ackworth said you'd do.
It was that daughter of Allington's being killed that did for him. Queer business, that.
The sister who was with her told me years afterwards that it was really suicide.
I wouldn't be surprised. To tell you the truth, I always thought the whole family was a bit unbalanced. Now, tell me about this film business.
Let me ask you one more question first. You're quite a success story. Made a fortune, granted a peerage. And it all began with what you did at Hawes and Company in Brothersford. Tell me, what have you got out of it all?
I don't see what you mean.
Well, Markham, he means, what have you got out of it all?
Oh, there you are, my dear. Finish packing.
All I'm going to do tonight. Hello, Mr. Dawson.
Lady Harndean.
I thought you were playing bridge with the Linsings, Malcolm. You'd better go. I'll answer Mr. Dawson's question.
I will then. Goodbye, Dawson.
Cigarette, Lady Harndean.
Thank you. Malcolm's parents were quite poor. He was taken up by a rich uncle who completely dominated him. All Malcolm wanted to do was please him, so much so that he went on pleasing him long after his uncle was no longer there to be pleased. Apart from that, Mr. Dawson, nothing much has ever happened to my husband. You've been thinking a lot about that time, haven't you? I've noticed you looking at us. You thought we were a pair of sinister interlopers, like that furious child who denounced us.
I think everything Bridget said was true.
Do you?
Her sister Joan told me later that Eva's death wasn't an accident, but suicide.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
You think I took Ben Kerry away from the Allington girl for amusement? Well, you're quite wrong. It wasn't like that at all.
Wasn't it?
I was in love with Ben. It was the first and last time I ever was in love. I was ready to give up everything for him. When he was killed just after we'd spent his last leave together, I thought I'd go mad. I've never forgotten a single second of the time Ben and I spent together. So, now you know. Goodbye, Mr. Dawson.
Hello.
Greg, darling, it's me. I'm at the Dorchester, imagine. When will you be coming to London?
Tomorrow afternoon.
That's perfect. Brent's giving a huge cocktail party for me at Claridge's on Thursday, and now you can be there. And Greg, can you come and see me on Wednesday at tea time? It's very important.
What are you up to, Liz?
You'll see. Good night, darling.
Thank God. That's it, lady. Goodbye. Make us a fortune, because from now on I want to be able to say what I want to say.
If I have anything to say.
And if anybody wants to listen.
You're right on time.
Who's that shabby little woman?
Well, no, here you are. Tea is over there. That's perfect, isn't it? I have to go out for an hour, but I'm sure neither of you will mind about that. Have a lovely talk.
Liz?
It's up to you now, Greg.
Bridget?
Hello, Gregory.
Is this a surprise?
Yes, it is.
How did Liz find you? Through David?
Yes, I live in Ealing. My daughter Sheila is at the Royal College of Music. She's a violinist. Really good.
Like you?
Much better than me. She just played with the London Symphony. I suppose we help ourselves to sandwiches.
I suppose we do. What happened to Joan?
She died 10 years ago when I was still in Ireland. Apparently she'd become rather unbalanced and had to stop teaching. There are only David and I left now.
I'm really sorry. Tell me, Bridget, what's been happening to you? You've had a tough time, but you've kept the family going.
Yes. I think we're through the worst now.
And then I shall come out and shake the world!
You will, British, and I'll write everything that can be written. Swampometer! Life! Schools! Life!
I was thinking the other night about the evening you and Oliver and I spent at the Leetons. How afterwards we danced down the street in the moonlight. How happy we were. Do you remember?
No.
Two nights ago, I was talking to the Nixies. About that Sunday evening when your father was ill and you came down and told them what you thought of them. Don't tell me you've forgotten that.
I haven't.
Joan told me that Eva threw herself off the ledge.
Rubbish. Joan would say anything to attract attention. You never understood what she was really like. I don't think you really understood any of us. We often laughed at you. I don't mean we disliked you or anything like that.
Oh, thank you.
But I suppose because you were lonely and rather sentimental and romantic and enjoyed making things up because you wanted to be a writer, you never saw us as we really were. That's one reason I didn't reply to your letter.
I see. Well, thank you for letting me know 32 years late.
I've had too much to do to bother about what happened when I was still in my teens and didn't know anything.
So, I knew nothing about you then and I'm wasting my time now. That's what you're saying? Well, my guess is as good as yours. Maybe better. And I think that what you were then and all that happened to you then made you what you are now. Same with me. And you might remember, next time you want to say you've too much to do to bother about what happened when you were in your teens, that your children are living in the same world as you were then.
No, they're not. It's quite different.
All right, it's different. But if you don't remember the other one, you won't even know where the difference lies.
I don't understand what you mean. And I think it's silly arguing like this when it's over 30 years since we last met. We don't know each other now. I'm quite different, naturally.
Oh, naturally.
I'm not sure you are, though. I think you're still making things up. Probably, being a writer, you can't help it.
Well, you're probably right.
Here I am. You're not going already, Mrs. Connolly?
Yes, I must. It takes a long time to get to Ealing. Thank you for the tea, Miss Earle, and goodbye, Gregory.
Goodbye, Bridget.
Well, Greg, tell me all about it. You're furious with me, aren't you?
No, I'm not. That was a damn silly scheme. I'm surprised she agreed to come.
She wasn't very keen, actually. You're miserably disappointed, aren't you?
Not really. I just feel lost. I've been back to my youth on a daft treasure hunt and come out empty-handed. I've drifted away from the people who were important to me, like you. I don't want Hollywood or Brent. Even though the only thing I can do is films. I've come to a dead end and I feel half dead myself.
Oh, darling.
So, I'll take myself off. Hmm? See you tomorrow. Brent's party.
Onesie, twosie, I'll kiss you. See, twosie, threesie, you kiss me. See, threesie, foursie, kiss some moresie. Let's start now with my
I'm so glad you're here, darling.
This is some party, Liz.
And all for me. Isn't Brent sweet? It's hopeless trying to talk here, and I'll be taken away in a minute, but I wanted to tell you that Brent sent the final sequence for me to read. You're marvellous, Greg. You really are. The whole script is perfect for me. I am grateful, darling.
Glad you're happy, Liz.
You look as if you want to charge out of here.
Elizabeth, meet these nice people.
Go on, meet your public. I'm off.
No, Greg.
Goodbye, my dear.
Greg!
Oh, sorry.
Dawson.
Lord Handy, what are you doing here?
Invited, old man. I expect they're looking for investors. But it's you I wanted to see.
Let's go out there where it's quieter.
Well, this is better. Look, old man, at a meeting yesterday, I was talking to a Mrs. Childs who represents some of the women's trade unions. She asked me if I knew any film people, and when I told her I'd just met you down in Cornwall, she got very excited. Said I must put you in touch. She gave me this card. Would you ring her at that number? Now, I must get back to the party. Ellen is in there somewhere.
Thanks.
Oh, Mr. Dawson, you don't know how glad I am to see you.
You said something about a meeting.
Oh, it's in full swing. We're forming a new group. It's quite a big thing, Mr. Dawson. The people here are mostly keen young technicians, so you with your experience are
Oh, dear. Mrs. Childs, I've met some of these idealists who tell each other how to make smashing left-wing films for Fortnum.
It isn't like that. And I know about you. You're exactly the person we need. Do come in and talk to us. Forgive the smoke and the dim. You know what young people are like.
Hello, Mr. Dawson.
Inchcliffe, I didn't expect to see you here.
You know each other?
We both do work for Brent. Quiet, everybody.
George, Hilda, turn it up. This is Gregory Dawson. He's just the bloke we wanted. Find a seat, Mr. Dawson. Mrs. Childs, tell him how far we've got.
Certainly. Briefly, Mr. Dawson, some of us in the trade union movement are worried about the kind of films the studios are making. They're all dream worlds, and their outlook and values are simply make-believe. There's nothing else for our people to see. No true films that show how real people behave in a real world. Well, if a new producing unit could be organized to make such films, the capital would be forthcoming, and the unions would put their weight behind the distribution.
Good Lord. Now that's a dream world.
It's true. Hinchcliffe?
Yes, it's true. The old Wilsdon studio is coming available. We want to use it to make something good. Something worthwhile, don't we?
We do. Hilda and I sneaked into Wilsdon this afternoon, actually, to have a look at the setup, didn't we?
Yes, we did. It's a bit out of date and smallish, but gosh, it'll do.
It certainly will. If everybody uses their heads, it'll be brilliant. Oh, I mean, the things we could do there.
Such things! We all shall. Look at the stars, souls!
Oh, no!
Life, souls! Life!
Oliver. Bridget.
Mr. Dawson, are you all right?
Yes, of course.
Would you like to talk to us now?
I'd be glad to.
I think you're all... you're all bloody wonderful. You're young and you have ideals, and until I entered this room, I hadn't experienced that for over 30 years. It's infectious. But let me say a few practical words. First, I have to say that I'm a writer. Although I...
That's the last of them. Thank you for staying behind. What did you think of our noisy young gang?
Well, they took me by surprise. It made me feel alive again in a way I haven't since.
I understand.
Do you?
More than you think. You were looking at me strangely just now. You're doing it again. No, don't apologize. Come and look at this painting.
Good God. This is a Stanley Mervyn.
Yes.
He showed me this very painting one May morning in 1913, when I was going to see some friends at the cottage on the moors.
I've been out since early on having a go at that little bridge at Broadstone Beck End. If I've had one try at that little beggar, I've had a dozen and never got bloody tone right. But I fancy this time I've rung the bloody bell.
This is all that's left of that forgotten time.
You haven't forgotten it.
No, I haven't. Actually, I've just been remembering it. All of it. The places, the people. It's made me feel like an old ghost.
You shouldn't go back like that. I felt like you when I lost my husband 10 years ago. We'd been so happy and had each other for such a little time. When he died, I thought everything good was lost and gone forever. But I made myself stop it.
I can't.
You must, Gregory. Life goes on. And if people die and things change, that's all part of it.
You call me Gregory.
I knew you once. You won't remember.
Won't I?
You used to bribe me with sticky sweets, didn't you, Laura?
Yes, I did.
You were Laura Blackshaw.
I was only 10 when I last saw you. We never met again after that Sunday at Pikely Scar.
Laura.
An horrible, ghastly hot Sunday.
It was a miserable business for a child to be mixed up in.
Oh, you were sweet to me. And when you took me home, you were wonderful. I adored you for years afterwards. Oh, Gregory.
What is it, Laura?
I still haven't got over it. It still matters after all this time. Perhaps because I bottled it up for so long.
Bottle.
Where is Joan now?
She died 10 years ago.
Then I can tell you. At last. You see, after it happened, nobody noticed me or asked me questions, and I was too terrified to say anything. You remember I'd wandered upstream from you and Bridget. Where I was, I could see Eva and Joan. They were quarrelling. I watched them. Eva slapped Joan's face and Joan flew at her and then... Oh, I tried so hard to pretend that I hadn't seen it, but I did see it. Joan pushed Eva off the ledge.
So that's what really happened.
Oh, forgive me. I didn't think I'd be so stupid.
Oh. Blast the Allingtons. Forget them. Don't cry, Laura. You've told me. You're rid of it now. Let's forget them all. Go forward.
That's what I was telling you.
Well, people have to say these sensible things to each other. Sometimes it's your turn, sometimes it's mine. I found today that even Malcolm Nixie can have his moments. There's a pattern, isn't there? If we could only see it properly.
What?
That hotel in Cornwall, Harndean, Bridget. And now you and those young people, like a circle.
I don't understand.
There has to be a pattern.
Perhaps there is. Are you going to join our film venture?
Yes. If you really want me to.
We need you. And I'd like it very much.
Then we'll have a thundering good try.
And we won't look back anymore.
No, Laura. We won't look back anymore.
Though I am old with wandering through hollow lands and hilly lands, I will find out where she has gone and kiss her lips and take her hand and walk among long dappled grass and pluck till time and times are done the silver apples of the moon, the golden apples of the sun. Shalom, Pompeter!
In the last episode of Bright Day, David Hargreaves played the older Gregory Dawson, Peter Kenny, the younger Gregory, and Frances Jeter, Elizabeth Earle. Elaine Claxton played Joan, Gavin Muir, Lord Harndean, Margaret John, Lady Harndean, Susanna Corbett, Hilda, Peter Whitman, Brent, Tom Bevan, Hinchcliffe, Maggie McCarthy, Mrs. Connolly, and Nina Wadia, Mrs. Childs. Music was played by Les Brown, Lawrence Rossi, and Tony Gamage. Bright Day was dramatized in 6 episodes by Eric Pringle from the novel by J.B. Priestley and was directed by Adrian Bean.